Joining us now, we have the tournament director up in Greensboro at the Wyndham. Mark Brazel joins us. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I got a question for you. I got to ask this. I'm thinking next year we're doing the Saturday morning show of your tournament from the beach at 16. What do you think?
Love that. Absolutely love that idea.
Can you get us a good setup out there?
Yeah, we can pull that off.
Do you know somebody? Sure. Do you know a guy, Mark? Do you know a guy who can make that happen?
I know a couple people that are more powerful, and yeah, they can pull it off.
How long a phone cord will we need to be on high speed?
That would be we'll get it across the pond. We'll do that.
Wait, do they have internet at the beach? If they have internet at the beach, we can handle it.
We can figure it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, book it. That's really why we had you on. It was nice talking to you, Mark. So.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
I just really wanted to meet Jimmy Buffett, and it felt like I missed out this year.
Oh, so far, a pretty good tournament. A couple guys lit it up yesterday. What was going on out there? What was in the water?
You know, I mean, like I told John McConnell, who owns this place, yesterday, I'm like, look, if you want to protect the scores, then your greens need to be terrible. Because, you know, then it becomes a game of luck, and guys aren't rolling everything in. But these greens are so fast and hard and perfect. But if you get the ball online, and if you're having a good putting day, you're going to make everything. They're just so true and pure. They're some of the best greens they've got. The whole golf course is one of the best conditioned golf courses and best designed golf course on the PGA Tour. So, you know, when they're playing well and they're going low, you know, and they're feeling it, you're not going to be able to stop them on good greens.
I mean, sitting where you do on the schedule, this is such a neat event because you're going into the FedEx Cup, and there's a duality to the story. You've got a storyline at the top, you know, as we do have every week, who's going to win, and then you've got a storyline at the back of the field, who's going to make it in. How do you manage to balance those two, and generally, which do people find more exciting?
Well, you know, I think that's the best part about this golf tournament is that. You've got so many storylines, and it's not just about the winners and those that are trying to keep their card. It's everything in the middle. I mean, you've got some guys that come in that might be ranked 50, and they're not happy with that. They want to get up into the top 20 because every year the FedEx Cup champion has come out of, like, the top 15 or 20. Mm. So there's all kinds of stories when the FedEx Cup standings are concerned. But a bigger story this year is about the Ryder Cup team and the Europeans being over here, and some Americans that want to try to make that Ryder Cup. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, a little bit, you know, it's a big, big event. It's the patriotic event that the Americans want to, you know, start doing better in. And there's a lot of guys here, J.B. Holmes and Patrick Reed and Ricky Fowler and, you know, Webb Simpson and Billy Haas. And so many of these guys want to make that team, Brant Snedeker. And, you know, there is some dual purpose of why they're here. Some of them love the place, and most of them love the place, but you know, that Ryder Cup story is an interesting one this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Patrick Reed right now tied for 62nd. He's the last guy in. Snedeker's the first guy out right now, and he's up near the top of the leaderboard, so we could definitely get a flip-flop in the points there, and I'm already seeing, by the way, that somebody's lighting it up this morning early. Kelly Kraft, 4-under through 6, rising up the leaderboard. He's already up 50 spots on the leaderboard, so apparently those greens are rolling really good this morning, too.
Yeah, they're good.
So, all right. So, Mark, when you look at a guy like Wee Kim, all right, he shows up there at 125. Is he like the most nervous guy in the world? I mean, does he show up and it's like a cat's tail in a room full of rocking chairs? I mean, is that guy jittery? I mean, he went 129 and missed the cut. But when that 125 guy shows up, is there a bit of a story behind him?
You know, there's some pretty sad stories to coming out of this tournament. Some of these guys are not going to make keep their card. I mean, they could still have some status on tour, but they're not going to keep their card. You know, if you're in the top 125, not only do you get to go to the playoffs, but you get to keep your full playing privileges for next year. So there's a lot of, you know, positive, you know, real happy stories, but there's some sad stories coming out of this week. And there's a lot of pressure. I mean, the pressure is immense for so many of these guys that are trying to, you know, make a living and keep their job.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got obviously a great leaderboard. I mean, you've got a couple of U.S. Open champions up there. You've got Hideki Matsuyama, who's made a name for himself. You got Kevin Na, who Most people may know from the swing yips that he had, but he's certainly a grinder out there. I mean, when you look at 12 under par and a bunch of guys at 10 under, where do you think this number's going by Sunday afternoon? I mean, is there a number that you have in your mind that says, if I shoot this, I can kick back and watch everybody else try and come get me?
Yeah, you know, I kind of think that somewhere around 17, 18, you know, again, kind of is that number that we finish up at by the end of the tournament. But I may be wrong. I mean, you know, Jim Furyk is he knows where the ball's going, how far it's going these days. He's putting well. I mean, I'd keep an eye on Jim. I mean, Hideki's got one of the best swings on tour. I mean, and he loves this place, so I look to him for him to be up there. I think Billy Haas and Brant Snedeker are going to have a couple good days. So you never know. And even like Webb Simpson or Patrick Reed, those guys could shoot, you know, 61, 62 and get right back into it.
Well, we're talking to Mark Brazel, the tournament director up at the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield, who has offered to host us on the beach next year for a live remote on Saturday. Mark, when you look at this thing shaking out over the weekend, I mean, there's a lot of exciting golf. I mean, really a full day today and a full day tomorrow. Folks from the mountains to the beach, they can get to Greensboro. Is there still a chance for people to come out and watch live golf?
Oh, absolutely. We're selling tickets the whole time, and you know, I think that's one of the real positives about our event is you can come on in and you can go to a local Harris Teeter and buy one, get one free. You can get two tickets basically for the price of $50 total, and or you can just go to online and buy a ticket, or you can buy one right here at the gate. So we've still got plenty of tickets to sell, and the weather forecast is great today. And I mean, you know, it's not every day that you know, North Carolinians get to see Ricky Fowler and Graham McDowell and, you know, some of the very best players in the world. Jim Furyk just shot 58 a couple weeks ago. I mean, some of the best players in the world right here in the Piedmont Triad and Central Country Club. So we'd love to have as many North Carolinians and people outside of North Carolina out here as possible.
Yeah, I mean, this is a home game for us. We need to support it. Those of us who love golf need to support this thing. So my question is, when these people show up, where should they go to watch the action?
Well, the one thing about our tournament, we won the award for most fan-friendly. We've got so many things. So if somebody just has a regular ticket, they've got all kind of places to go sit for bleachers, and the bleachers are covered, and they basically serve like skyboxes. We've got the BB&T Fan Pavilion on the ninth green. We've got Tito's Lounges out on 9 and on 15. We've got the Midtown Mashup out on the 10th hole. We've got Margaritaville. It's doesn't really you don't watch golf, but you can have a big time in Margaritaville right in the middle of it all. We've got so many places. We've got the Sunbrella Sun Deck and the Sunbrella Comfort Zone. One's on 9, one's on 12. But all of these are wide open to the public. And you can have a big time out here, even without a hospitality ticket. So there's all kinds of things to do here. And we've also got a really cool kids' adventure zone that, you know, the kids are having a big time on the climbing wall and the bouncy houses and all the different things that we've got there.
All right, and if we can't make it out, because that sometimes happens on a weekend, if we can't make it out but can get a chance to get a peek of it on TV, where should we watch? I mean, what kind of holes, where are we looking at for players to make a push? And I always ask, where's the carnage going to be? I tend to like the carnage. Where can we see guys push and some guys fall apart?
Well, the carnage is probably the 14th hole is a tough one. The 18th hole is a tough one, really tough one, tough finishing hole. It's par 5 for the members, par 4 for the players, and it's, you know, you've really got to hit a good drive there, and then you're on a downhill slope going up to a green, and it's long, it's 508 yards, stuff like that. Mm. So that's, you know, that's probably carnage central. And then, like I said, the 14th hole is tough. The 12th hole is tough par three. And then there's a lot of great holes on the front nine. I mean, every hole out here is fabulous. It's Donald Ross designed golf course that is the players just absolutely love.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely equate this to like the RBC Heritage, where it's just it's an old school golf course that the players just love. I mean, they don't get too many opportunities to play these types of golf courses anymore, because a lot of these courses are, you know, 7,500 yards and they're kind of open and they're tricked up, and this is just one of those classic old school courses, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this is the only Donald Ross golf course on the PGA Tour that annually played on a PGA Tour event. But no, it is. You've got to. You know, it's not overwhelmingly long. It's about 7,200 yards, par 70. But you've got to be able to move your ball and work it left to right, right to left, and you know, come up with. There's a lot of strategy involved in this golf course, and the thing I like about this course, it brings everybody into play. It's not just the bombers course. Now, if the bombers hit it really well and straight, then they'll have an advantage. But this is a golf course that anybody in this field can win on.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, some of our newer listeners may forget. I mean, this is a classic golf tournament. I mean, you're talking Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson making this their home, you know, early on with this tournament, going back, you know, Billy Casper, Doug Sanders, Julius Boros. I mean, all the big names have played and won this golf tournament, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got as good a list of past champions as there is. And, you know, even in recent years with Sergio Garcia and Webb Simpson and Brant Snedeker and Davis Love III and Camilo Vijayas and Patrick Reed, I mean, even in recent years, Ryan Moore's here, and, you know, our recent champions are pretty strong group of players.
So as a tournament director / carnival barker, what kind of stories are you looking for coming out, you know, tomorrow evening, tournament's over, and you feel really good about the story you're able to tell for the next, say, 10 months about what happened this weekend? What are you hoping for?
You know, from our strategy and our mission for this golf tournament is really to shine a spotlight on the state of North Carolina and especially our region, the Piedmont Triad. So we always feel really good about our partnership with the Golf Channel and CBS and guys like you that are broadcasting our tournament in one way, shape, or form. And you know, we want everybody to know what a great state North Carolina is and what a great region the Piedmont Triad is. So that's goal number one for us. But obviously, you know, for example, like last year when Tiger Woods basically camped out of the top of the leaderboard all week long and had one bad hole and kind of, you know, slipped a little bit but still finished top 10, that created, you know, so much buzz here for the state of North Carolina and so many eyeballs, so many more eyeballs around the world. So PGA Tour events are actually in about over a billion household now, billion households worldwide. Now, that doesn't mean that's how many people watch it, but that's how many it gets to. And so that's a big part of, you know, economic development and economic impact is a huge part of what makes the Wyndham Championship a success.
So when you've had you've had sponsors come out and maybe they were new, what do they say about it on the back end? I mean, how do you have to do much of a renewal pitch, or does everybody want to come back?
No, you know, you always have to do that. You can't ever take it for granted. But I mean, when you have a great week and good weather and people enjoy the pro-ams and people enjoy their hospitality, it is obviously much easier. But it's never a slam dunk, but man, it does get easy when you've had a good week.
So what's your Sunday score? What are you sitting on and thinking that's going to be the end of it?
He said it.
I don't know. I still think it's going to be somewhere around 17 to 19. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, if one of these leaders takes off and shoots another 63-2, you know, it could get interesting. I mean, like I said, there's some players right now that are really playing well. Snedeker's playing really well. You know, the guy that's in the lead, Kim, he's like 43rd on the FedEx. So he's had a huge year. He's made over $1.5 million and, you know, he's not well known, but he is quietly having quite a year.
So if somebody gets to like 21, can they just go right to Tito's or Margaritaville and just start hammering back drinks and they're safe?
I don't think they're safe, but that's a pretty good number.
So
they might be playing some extra holes.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to be able to kick back and celebrate the victory while everybody else is finishing up. It's going to come right down to the wire, isn't it?
I think so. That's what we've enjoyed over the years is some tight finishes and, you know, some really good play. I mean, like Patrick Reed yesterday, I was watching him on the 15th hole, and he's about to miss the cut by 3. And he goes birdie, birdie, birdie. Birdie's the 18th hole with a 29-foot putt. That hole was playing the hardest by far yesterday. And he makes the cut on the number. And I couldn't even believe that he did it. And, you know, we're happy to have Patrick stay in the field for the weekend, but there's these guys get going, and there's really no telling what they might shoot out here.
All right. Well, Mark, man, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and we look forward to 16 next year.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot.